Dairy giant Fonterra has laid out a range of options to strengthen its financial structure, but remains committed, it says, to cooperative ownership. The country's biggest company says the aim is to balance farmer ownership, milk supply and secure its financial future. It's outlined a range of options for shareholders to consider, including dual share structures to allow outside involvement, splitting the co-op between supply and processing businesses, and different classes of shares. Giles Beckford is RNZ's business editor. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Catherine.
So what's happening this morning? Is there a trading halt for 24 hours?
It is indeed. Well, that was brought in yesterday to ensure that there was no, should we say, speculation in the Fonterra shareholders' fund. And it will continue until tomorrow morning so that people can mull things over. And into the bargain, they're putting a cap on the size of the shareholders' fund, the Fonterra shareholders' fund, which is basically a unit investment to ensure that, once again, things don't get out of kilter and the fund doesn't get so overcapitalised, because one of the options is actually to shut down the fund and to buy it back.
Let's talk about the current structure, because there's a fund that only farmers can trade in. There's a fund that non-farmer members can invest in. What are the two funds and how do they work?
Well, at the moment, if you're a dairy farmer and you supply Fonterra, you're obliged to buy shares in order to get established and to be, you know, to be part of one of the owners of it. So
of the co-op.
Of the co-op. So just take, for example, you produce 100,000 kilos of milk solids a year. We'll say a nominal price, $5 for that. So it costs you roughly $5 million to be a farmer supplier to Fonterra, which is a sizable capital
That's
outlay.
That's your entry point.
That's your entry point.
Okay.
Now, if by some chance you have more than that, milk production, for instance, might fall, but you've still got the original shares that you've got, then those surplus shares, which they call dry shares, the wet shares are the ones tied to your supply, but the dry shares are the excess that you may have accumulated over the years. Those could go as the base resource for the Fonterra Shareholders Fund. They were exchanged into units, not shares, units, and that was the tradable bit for outside investors to have exposure to it. So that's the current structure of the market.
Again, outside investors cannot be part of the co-op, but they can trade in some of those shares that have been converted to units.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the current structure. What's seen as the issue? What's the co-op trying to achieve?
Essentially, they want it to be cheaper and easier for farmers to come and go and to maintain farmer ownership of Fonterra. So they're saying, at the moment, it's one share for every kilo of milk solid that you produce. They're suggesting, as their preferred option, that that is increased so you get one share for every 4 kilos of milk solid that you would produce. So essentially, you would then cut the amount of capital required by three quarters.
Why? Part of me thinks we've seen farming corporatise and farms get bigger and bigger. Is that the issue to help the smaller operator, or is it more a worry that things are going to head towards more of a non-farming ownership model if they don't do some correction?
Well, that was one of the very original options right at the beginning of Fonterra's foundation, which was one of the options that was put up there and heartily knocked back by farmers, was to have the milk supply side of the business on one side, and that was farmer-owned, and then the commercial production facilities would be put into a separate company, which would be open for public investment. Now, of course, farmers saw themselves losing control of the industry that way. One of the other factors that Fonterra is now taking into account is that milk supply in New Zealand is actually levelling off. The prospects are, with climate change and all the other things that are happening, that it might decline. Hence, Fonterra's supply base could actually shrink. It could actually struggle to actually get milk supplies to keep the business ticking over. So they're looking to address that issue as well. If you make it easier for people to come and go, then you're securing milk supply in a broader environment where the potential production from farms in this country falls.
This idea of splitting between supply and processing, Is that separate from the commercial operations of Fonterra, which have been so controversial?
Well, it's allied to it because there is a natural tension there. If you're a farmer, you want to get the best price possible for your milk. We're going to have a bumper season this year, probably somewhere around $7.50 a kilo of milk solids. In the past, though, it's fallen as low as $4 nearly. You know, that wasn't so long ago. So you've got that tension because on the other side, you own a part of a business that wants to get milk at the lowest possible price so that it gets its best margins when it turns it into processed products. It's a natural tension within a co-op such as this. They're trying to address that, but it still remains because this structure doesn't necessarily, or the preferred option, doesn't necessarily answer that. One of the options they have put forward and reject as being less desirable is that you will have a value-added business, and that would be open to outside investment.
This is your yoghurts and cheese and chemicals and
all the works. One of the issues is, of course, is that over the past 10 years, 8 years or so since Fonterra arrived at its current structure, what it actually found was that, of course, it's pumped billions of dollars into commercial enterprises around the world, China in particular, but also through Latin America, North America, into Europe, many of which were poorly performing, and actually got the co-op into the position where we saw 2 years ago massive write-downs, a mountain of debt that it's had to do some really swinging cuts in order to reduce. It's got itself back on a pretty even keel currently. So what it's doing is taking the opportunity of this breathing space, a supermarket, debts reduced, a lot of assets sold and some more asset sales still in the pipeline.
So what should we look like now in the future?
To be able to say, Where do we go from here?
From what's favoured, do you still see a suspicion, a wariness of opening up to external investors who are not invested in farming?
Yes, clearly the bottom line of this, it always has been, and they were quite clear, I think, from the start of this process to say farmers in Fonterra want to control their own industry.
So what would change with the favoured option mean, just as a talking point?
Well, from that point
reduce
of view,
the number of shares
right,
you have to have.
It would reduce the number of shares that you need to get into the business as a Fonterra supplier. So from that point of view, it's cheaper. If you've got excess shares, then of course you could still capitalise those, so to speak, by having them going into the
fund
and having them converted. It's saying there are certain limits on that fund at the moment. We're getting very close to them, and this is the point where we now have to consider whether we have a permanent cap on that fund or whether we abolish it, whether we scrap it altogether and we buy it back, basically. And that would cost them hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's
would
something
that exclude any internal investors, though?
Yes.
External? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, an investment opportunity, an investment product that's out there for external investors would come off the market.
What would that mean for future growth ambitions? You're saying actual production might ease?
Farmers would be trading amongst themselves.
Right.
Remembering that the fund itself, the Fonterra Shareholders Fund, doesn't worry necessarily about production per se, which is the worry of Fonterra and Fonterra suppliers, the farmers. They worry about how much they produce, how much they get for their milk, right, and that they maintain control. So from this point of view, their preferred option, they say, gives them that balance of factors. Easier to get in, easier to get out, cheaper. They supply and they control the milk supply.
However, if you're looking at things like billing value add, and I know we've just been round and round the mulberry bush with Fonterra's expansions and ambitions and adventures overseas, but if you are saying our long-term future might be less milk but higher value, and you're looking at value add, where would that capital come from?
Well, that's the issue that confronts any business, and from that point of view, they'd have to say that they would be looking to raise funds externally by way of debt. Remembering, of course, that they've trimmed back a lot of their overseas operations, so their ambitions are to do the value add in New Zealand, not to actually necessarily do the value add overseas using overseas milk supply, which is what the previous strategy had been.
What will this do for price? This is why there's a trading halt at the moment. People get their heads around it. But what might this change do for price and for liquidity, ability to trade?
For the shareholders fund, one assumes that it's potentially negative, because if the prospects are that, in fact, it will be capped or actually may have no future at all, then one would assume that the price is going to fall as a response to that. We'll wait and see what the reaction is. But in the end, you know, the shareholders' fund was a way for farmers with excess shares, the dry shares as we call them, to actually get some capital, further capital value from them. That would actually obviously be restrained.
I mean, this is what Peter McBride, the chair, says here in the statement. I want to be clear, these changes could impact the price at which shares in our co-op are traded. There may not be as much liquidity in the market. Ultimately, the price for farmers' share will be determined by the performance of the co-op and trading between farmers. We believe this is a more sustainable proposition in the long term.
Yeah.
So what happens now?
They now go out on the road. They explain it, and this is a devil of a thing to try and get your head around, especially if you're not a farmer shareholder. They need to see how the land lies, if people back their preferred option. If not, one assumes it would be back to the drawing board, or they might actually just scrap it all together. They might just say, look, it's all been in the too hard basket for too long.
Well, thank you for your mighty effort in explaining it to me and to us. Thanks. Giles Beckford is RNZ's business editor.